Men, if you're starting to notice your hair thinning when you look in the mirror, you're not alone. Life just gets busier and busier, and it can feel like there's not enough time in the day to do something about it. So try Hims hair loss solutions. You can avoid jumping through a bunch of frustrating hoops and get access to treatment without even leaving your own home. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride, minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized, chewable, oral, they got spray and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there's no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, no insurance is needed. And one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back, too, with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/DrinkinBrosSports. That's Hims.com/DrinkinBrosSports for your personalized hair loss options. Hims.com/DrinkinBrosSports. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information. All right, let me tell you about the online cannabis company that's revolutionizing how we deal with life's challenges, from sleepless nights to stress-filled days. Mood.com has created an entire line of functional gummies that target specific health concerns with 100% federally legal THC blends. And they'll deliver them discreetly right to your doorstep. And you can get 20% off your first order at mood.com with the promo code BROS. Tried a bunch of their gummies myself, and it's wild how different each one feels. They're sleepy time gummies. Knock me out in about 15 minutes flats. No hangovers, no grogginess. I wake up feeling amazing the next day. And their epic euphoria gummies, well, they're perfect for those days when nothing's going right and you just need to hit the reset button on your shitty mood. What makes these different is how they've paired THC and other cannabinoids with herbs and adaptogens. You're just not going to find gummies like this in a dispensary or anywhere else for that matter. And they've got gummies for literally everything: immune supports, menopause relief, PMS symptoms, mental clarity, sexual arousal. And each one is crafted using federally legal cannabis grown on small family-owned American farms. No pesticides, no BS. And they can ship to almost every single state in the United States of America. Best of all, not only does Mood stand behind everything with industry-leading 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off with their first order with code BROS. So head on over to Mood.com. Browse their amazing selection of functional gummies and find the perfect gummy for whatever you're dealing with. And remember to use the promo code BROS at checkout to save 20% off your first order.
What is up? Welcome back to Tomahawked. I'm your host, Rob Fox, joined as always by Dan Holloway. Any episode could be the last episode at this point.
Yeah.
I feel like.
Yeah.
This is just getting fucking grim. The Atlanta Braves, not back. I'd say I would be shocked if the division is a possibility anymore at this point.
I mean, it's still only 6.5 games back, but, you know, last place is never good.
Right. And look, it's early, but boy, last place with 5 teams in front of you. I mean, now granted, the Nats and Marlins I'm not terribly worried about, but the Mets...
I'm not worried about the Mets.
Playing pretty decent. I don't think they're going to hold either.
No, the Mets are terrible.
But I think the Phillies are, you know, doing pretty fucking well. Nothing is, at least we don't play in the NL West, where I believe they have the 3 best records in baseball. 15-4, 14-6, 13-6.
Yeah, and it's not going to get any easier over there.
Oh, I'm sorry. They have tied for the 4th best record in baseball, too, with the... Arizona Diamondbacks in 4th place, yeah. And that's a little problematic, even though it's super early, and I think we're only, how many games behind? We're 6.5 games behind. We're 6.5 games out of the division and the wild card right now, of the last wild card spot. Maybe a little more, actually, but I don't care. But I guess the saying goes, you can lose a division in April, but you can't win it, but I don't think you can lose a expanded wild card spot in April.
No, probably not. And it's a long season. We're not even out of the first month yet.
Yeah.
But they all of the warning signs are there. our ace looked terrible in his last start again.
Who? Sale?
Sale, yeah. Yeah. The velocity was up a little bit, but walked people. I think there's something wrong.
Well, if the velocity's up and the control's down, that means he's possibly overthrowing.
Yes, which is gonna, at least it'll get it over more quickly, I guess. Like whatever's wrong with his arm will get exposed a little bit sooner than it would have, so that it'll, you know, it's good to get hope out of the way.
Right. I agree with that.
So we'll see how that goes. I think there's something wrong with his arm, honestly.
I mean, he's just a perpetually injured guy. It was wonderful that we got the season out of him that we did last year. However,
it was a waste, but yeah.
Got hurt right in time for the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Which the only thing we had going for us at the end of that abysmal season was, well, Fried and Sale and Schwellenbach at the top of the rotation, you just never know.
Yeah.
Maybe the bats are talented, if not producing, maybe they'll get hot. Who the fuck knows? But they didn't, they got swept by the Padres, and Sale didn't even pitch.
Yeah.
So that was what that was, and now Chris Sale is I mean, I said this going into the year. In our preview or whatever, is how much can you rely on starters who have injury histories or are freshly injured or have no history, that being Sale, Strider, and Ronaldo Lopez. So far, Sale, something's clearly off.
Yeah.
Ronaldo Lopez, currently on the IL, and won't be back for a minute. Thankfully, it was only... the injury was minor, but he had to have exploratory surgery, which is just going to keep him on the... on the shelf for a minute.
Yeah.
And then Strider, at least, we'll get to it in a little bit, but Strider looked good in his start back. Legs on point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, his legs have somehow gotten bigger.
It's goddamn insane.
Which is, I think maybe Trump should tariff him or something. I don't know what's going on with those legs. Yeah, Strider looks, he looks like maybe it's certainly rusty out of the gate, which is what you would expect.
Right. I mean, he's not pitching in AAA anymore.
Yeah, but definitely overpowering, which is never going to change.
No. He had 5 strikeouts in 5 innings.
Yeah.
Which, if you're coming back from, you know, the arm injury he had and you haven't pitched a major league inning in like a year, basically, I'll take that. For a first start back, what he did, I will absolutely take.
Yeah, he was a little bit wild inside the strike zone. But again,
not hitting spots.
Yeah, again, a little rust. Threw 97 pitches, though, so it seems like he's feeling good. Schwellenbach is a Cy Young contender.
Yeah, he got smacked around a little in his start against the Blue Jays, but he's not Greg Maddux. Like, he's
Yeah. 3 out of 4 quality starts right now. he's definitely shown, like, he's been pretty consistently good since he came up, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, he's fantastic.
There's been a couple of, like, 1 or 2 games here or there where he's not looked great, but almost all the time, he looks really good.
No, he's absolutely reliable. And even though he didn't pitch that great against the Blue Jays, what was his what was that actual line? Because I mean, with how bad the offense is playing,
I mean, he gave up six earned runs.
Yeah, he didn't pitch too well against the Blue Jays.
But that's the first time he's given up more than one.
Right.
You're going to have those from time to time.
Jacked up his ERA all the way to 2.55.
Yeah. Smith Shauver's last time out looked pretty good. He's still, though, he's just not – he's still a thrower right now.
Right.
In no meaningful way is he a pitcher. And some of that comes with having – I don't think it's a coincidence that his best game this season was when Sean Murphy and not Drake Bolden was catching him.
Yeah.
Right? Just somebody back there to call the game.
Yeah.
Smith Shauver should not ever shake anybody off.
No, no.
For 10 years.
No. He's got to learn how to pitch.
Yeah, he's got to learn how to pitch. He should be listening and paying attention.
Did you I caught this reel on Instagram the other day that it was from the Orioles back in the day. I forget who the pitcher was. He was kind of a no-name pitcher. Like, he wasn't a big name or anything like that when he pitched. But he said when he was a rookie or early in his career, him and the catcher were both rookies for the Orioles. Mm. And after one game where they got fucking shelled, Cal Ripken Jr. came up to them in the clubhouse and was like, "You guys want to learn how to play baseball?" And they were like, I mean, Ripken was already a legend at this point, so they were like, yeah, please. And he was like, "All right, I'm calling your games for the rest of the year."
Mm.
And so essentially the catcher would look out to short, Ripken would call the pitch, and the pitcher would throw the pitch, and they both had a great year. Like, for the rest of the year, that pitcher was...
What year was this?
Oh, man, I forget. I don't even remember the pitcher's name, because he was not like a... He was just a, had a nice little major league career, but it was not a guy I remembered. And it was before... I think it was, like, maybe the late 80s when this happened, so it was before my...
Ben McDonald.
Okay.
That's who he did it for. That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny.
But that's where Smith Shauver needs to be, right? Like, he needs to have someone else telling him what to do and learning by doing it and watching the other person, learning what works, learning what doesn't work. Mm. And also, it just takes pressure off of him, right? Like, dude, just, you got stuff. Just fucking throw it. I will tell you where and when.
Yeah. Yeah, he's definitely got stuff. It's just like, I don't know if this is the fact that he hasn't pitched much high level or high leverage, but when he throws a get me over fastball, he literally puts it right down the middle, belt high.
Yeah.
That's not where it goes.
No.
Right? I mean, you still got to make them hit a good pitch. I think it was, I'm pretty sure it was the only run he gave up against Tampa Bay. It was just like a fucking, right down the middle. Like, all right, that's a choice. I mean, you've got some stuff, kid, but you're not Spencer Strider. You can't get away with right down the middle.
It's the fucking major leagues, dude. They can.
Yeah. Everybody can hit whatever you're throwing.
And you kind of lose that appreciation if you really only watch Major League Baseball, because you're like, oh, this guy hits 230. He sucks ass. But, like, he doesn't.
He doesn't
suck.
No, he can react in 0.4 seconds.
Yeah.
Which is the low end standard, I guess.
Like, he would go be an MVP candidate at the next highest level. Mm. You know what I mean? I actually got an appreciation for this the other day. I don't watch a lot of college baseball, but I was watching the Frozen Four was in St. Louis, the college hockey Final Four. And I was like, oh, I'll watch it. They're playing where the Blues play. I'll watch it. See, I've heard college hockey's fun or whatever. I just turned off after like 8 minutes. The disparity in talent between that level and then the NHL level was, honest to God, like, just fucking astounded at how much better the professionals were than what is presumably the, maybe not, I guess you could say the AHL is higher than college in terms of talent, but college would be right behind it. And it was fucking stunning. So, I mean, it's the same thing with a guy like AJ Smith Shauver, right? Like, you probably can pipe a 97 mile an hour fastball in Double A and Triple A.
Yeah.
But you just can't. No, it doesn't matter if this dude seems hapless, like, at the plate compared to when he's facing, like, fucking Zach Wheeler or even just like a fourth starter. You know what I mean? Like, he's professional. Like, it's impossible to do.
Yeah. I mean, that's just a part of learning, you know. You've got to, and he's 20 years old or 21.
Shaver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's going to take a minute. I mean, I expect him to be, the only thing I'm concerned about is if they ruin his brain, but which is, you know, it happens sometimes when you put a guy into stuff before he's ready for
it. The only way they're going to ruin his brain is by letting him use it. Right?
Yeah. I mean, he should not be thinking. He should only be paying attention.
Yeah.
But the brain, so yeah, it's weird because you look at some of the people that had great stuff like this. There has never been before him and will never again be a Nolan Ryan ever. He's just a freak of nature in the same way
of longevity,
getting hurt, but nobody was ever close to him in production. Right. Like he struck out 5,714 people in 5,386 innings. There are very few people who have more strikeouts than innings pitched in all of Major League history with over like 1,000 innings pitched.
Well, a lot of that is the function of gameplay from back in the day.
Yeah, a little bit.
I mean, guys would... I mean, dude, if you just took Nolan Ryan and started him 10 years ago and just he was in the middle of...
Yeah, he would have 25,000 strikeouts by now.
Like, there were guys... I mean, back
every at bat would be a walk or a strikeout.
Right. He played in... So in the same way we think it's... I think, personally, it's super impressive that Greg Maddux was doing what he did against, you know, steroid monsters. It's impressive to me that Nolan Ryan got the amount of strikeouts he did against guys that were trying to put the bat on the ball. Like, he played in the 70s and 80s. That was small ball era for the most part. You know what I mean? Like, that was a contact era. Yeah. So he was trying to – I mean, he had to actively avoid bats that were fucking fantastic at putting the bat on the ball.
Yeah. And then, you know, the longevity piece is the other one that you mentioned. Nobody will ever come close to that. There's no way. I mean, actually, maybe Randy Johnson was –
his career ended 15 years ago.
Yeah. I got to look at this now, actually. Hang on a sec.
And what did he have 4,000 strikeouts, maybe?
4,875.
Okay.
So Randy Johnson, yeah, he's the only one that's ever come close, but even he didn't get there. So from age 40 on, Randy Johnson had 1,004 strikeouts.
Good Lord.
Nolan Ryan had 1,437 strikeouts after. He actually had 301. And in his age 42 season, and he also threw a no-hitter, I believe, against the Blue Jays. That was 89, right?
He had a no-hitter when he was with the Rangers, whenever that was.
Yeah. So I think there was – no, he had two no-hitters with the Rangers.
Damn. And that was the end of his career.
Yeah. He had none with the Mets. He had four with the Angels, two in one season.
Yeah.
He had – seven total. So I think he had two with Houston. I don't remember.
The best parts of his career were with Houston and
the Angels,
California.
Yeah. Yeah. But even then, in where is it? Here we go. In his age 44 season, he had 27 starts, 12-6, 2.91 ERA, 203 strikeouts, and 173 innings. You're just like, you're not going to get that ever again. And I think baseball economically is going to have to start adjusting to this in the same way that football adjusted to the running back, because guys are just throwing every pitch as hard as they can now, and it's shortening their careers.
Yeah.
And it's not just like on the back end, but in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
It's shortening somewhere between 24, actually often before this, but for every pitcher in baseball now, apparently, somewhere between 24 and 28, there's a TJ, and then somewhere between 32 and 36 is another one.
They're losing their primes to this.
Yeah. They're at least two prime years in a career seems to be the standard right now, and you've got to adjust for that. Sorry. I mean, that's just the way it is. That's how economics work.
Certainly
the value of a great starting pitcher doesn't go away, and if you're somebody that can go deep into ball games, even if you're not striking out a lot of people, I mean, that to me... Eating innings is more valuable than strikeouts.
Yeah.
Even if you have an ERA. So if you have an ERA that's at 3.5 instead of 3, but you're able to go 7, that is worthwhile. I would rather have that guy than the guy that goes 5 at a 3 ERA. I'd rather have that guy than Snell.
I mean,
100% of the time.
To do that, you have to, and I looked this up the other day because I was wondering, like, why are pitchers just not, you know, going as deep into games and stuff like that anymore? And part of it is actually, I mean, it's a function of the hitters who are quite a bit more selective than they used to be. Again, to go back to the Nolan Ryan era, you had a lot more ambushers, right? You had a lot more guys who, again...
Well, they didn't want to get behind on Nolan Ryan.
Right, yeah, exactly. And you know, that's something that Greg Maddux, for example, took advantage of. He knew dudes wanted to swing on the first pitch.
Yeah.
And
well, it's because he had great movement, too, right?
Right.
Because if you get down, even if it's 3-2, but especially 0-2, 1-2 to Maddux, you've got to watch 6 to 8 inches outside of the plate on either side.
Yeah.
Because the movement will bring it back in. Well, if I'm a pitcher right now, that's what I'm thinking about. I'm not trying to throw the ball as hard as I can on every pitch. If I've got a great arm, I've got a great arm. But I'm trying to locate and move the ball around, right? Because if you're missing barrels, it doesn't fucking matter. The defenses these days are probably not as good as they used to be, frankly, right? The athletes are probably better. Some of the outfield arms are probably – the average outfield arm is probably a little bit better.
Yeah.
Because left field used to be a black hole for arms.
You don't think outfield – range is better?
Range is probably better too, yeah. But if range is better, is approach better? I don't know.
Because you guys are just leaning on their athleticism.
Yeah, you don't see a whole lot of
I mean, God knows
skill.
Acuna does.
Yeah, he takes terrible routes.
Yeah.
Whereas Andrew Jones, if you put Acuna and Andrew Jones in a 60-meter dash, which is what Major League Baseball scouts do, Acuna would finish a second ahead, I bet.
Yeah.
Like a full second ahead.
Yeah.
But if you put him in center field, Acuna cannot compete with Andrew Jones.
No.
Ever. He'll never be able to compete with him. And Andrew could play 20, 40 feet more shallow in center field than any center fielder I've ever seen except for Willie Mays.
Yeah.
And if you look at the career stats on defense, even though Andrew had a lot of injuries towards the end of his career and DH'd a bunch, not the rate stats, but the actual fucking compile stats for defense, he blows Willie Mays out of the water.
Right.
It's like double almost what Willie Mays did. So
in a shorter career.
In a much shorter career. You're talking about 12 years in the outfield versus 22.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've talked about this before. There's been a big breakdown in fundamentals and shit like that.
Yep.
And I think there's been a breakdown in fundamentals on pitching too. You say this from time to time, it's a solved game at this point. It's only a solved game because everybody's agreed to play that style.
Yeah.
But anybody that comes in and throws it a little bit different, Schwellenbach, for example, who locates and moves the ball, not like Dustin May, 22 inches of cut or break back on a sinker, just 6 or 8, right? Where it looks really attractive and all of a sudden it's in the zone, which means two things. One, you're not putting nearly as much pressure on your arm by tightening your grip and whipping the ball like that. But also, the guy is more likely to swing at a bad pitch and take a good pitch if it's that close.
Yeah.
Right? If you're – like you see these overlays of Skeens, and he's doing a great job right now with his – he'll throw his two-seamer right on the outside corner, and it goes off about 8 inches, and he'll throw his slider, and it fucking backdoors the guy. Perfect.
Yeah.
That's perfect. That's exactly what you should be doing. But what you don't see Skeens doing, even though he's got the best arm in baseball right now, is what Dustin May does, which is throwing a screwball, basically, right?
Yeah.
Like, Dustin May's arm will be fucked by this time next year. There's no, you can't
do that. It's already been fucked.
Well, I know, but, like, you can't throw the ball like that and expect to get any sort of longevity out of it. That's why I think Schwellenbach on the Braves roster right now is going to have the best total career of anybody on that team.
Even over Strider?
Yes.
Yeah.
Strider will
blow his arm out again?
Well, we'll see how this new surgery does.
Yeah.
This is they say that it's quite a bit better than the old just like standard TJ that you wait until the tendon's completely fucked, but I don't see how he stays healthy.
It does blow my mind to your solved game point that because it's not a solved game.
No, there's so much like
you
if it was a solved game, Greg Maddux couldn't have put together the best pitching performance of all, like Nolan Ryan was the most talented, physically talented to include longevity, but Greg Maddux is the best pitcher that has ever existed.
By far.
And nobody else is even close. He didn't have, if he had the stuff that Randy Johnson had, he would have had 500 wins. I'm not even kidding. Because he had 360.
Right.
He would have had 500 wins. He would have struck out like probably 6,000 people because he's the smartest dude out there and the best pitcher. But yeah, it's only a solved game because everybody has bought into this nonsense.
Right.
And I don't think it's real.
And it's so one of the things I was going to say with the pitches or whatever is a batter's. I just wanted to see between I think the 70s and now, the amount of pitches batters see. Mm. They see about a pitch more per plate appearance than they used to, right?
Well, that's a lot.
That's a shit ton.
I mean, that's like even if you throw a perfect game, that's 27 more pitches.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's a lot.
Yeah.
That's enough to knock you out of the ball game in the sixth or seventh inning instead of the ninth.
Yeah.
To be honest, so.
But the thing is, they're seeing pitches because they know that pitchers are going to waste pitches. They know that pitch. So, again, but everyone's just like, nah, nah, strike them out, strike them out.
Mm.
Pitch to fucking contact, especially when you do have, I think, more physically gifted athletes playing defense than you've ever had. And by the way, these guys that were dealing with contact hitters, probably not wrongly, I think it was smart of the contact hitters to do this, although contact has been a thing in baseball since, you know, Ty Cobb, right? Like, people didn't strike out in that era or Babe Ruth era. It was like a great Japanese shame to strike out. Like, you dishonor your ancestors by striking out. But, you know, in that era, in the 80s and 70s and early 90s, there is an extra reason to play to contact, and that was half the goddamn fields were carpet.
Yeah, certainly a lot of those cookie-cutter stadiums that got built in the middle 20th century were just put the ball on the ground somewhere.
And I mean, if you've ever, I've never played baseball on AstroTurf, but anything you do on AstroTurf, so like if you play, like if you play outdoor soccer, if you play on grass, and then you go play indoor soccer, you are, the first thing you notice and are immediately stunned by is how much quicker the ball gets away from you.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, like in the outfield too. So I played in Puerto Rico for a summer between my junior and senior year. And most of the stadiums down there had turf.
Yeah.
For some reason, I don't know why, and which sucked because you could see the fucking heat lines rising up off of it. Like, it was bad.
It's brutal.
But yeah, I played center field, so anything that hit the ground out there, instead of and it changes the whole way you play too, because I can't charge the ball like I want to anymore.
Right.
If it's on grass, I know it hits. There's a little bit of resistance, and I can put my body in front of it at least, right? And that would be fine. I can just pick it up and throw it in. With turf, it's speeding up when it hits the ground, not slowing down.
Yeah.
Right? It's like not actually speeding up, but it's like it feels that way because it doesn't slow down the natural way it does on grass, and it's fucked. You know what I mean? And it's – I can't take I can't cut off a gap double anymore, because if I do, I risk the chance of it getting by me and turn into a triple or a home run.
Right.
Can't do that. So, yeah, I mean, it changes the game remarkably. And then, you know, even beyond that, so I think some of these things balance themselves out. We have less turf now.
It's just
only Toronto, right?
Yeah, and that's field turf, so
it's a little bit better. Yeah, but we do have a lot more great hitters up the middle that are being hidden at those positions now.
Yeah,
like a second baseman used to be Mark Lemke,
right?
For real, like the Roberto Alomar was like, holy shit, this guy can hit.
Albatross, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, this guy can actually hit. With Mark Lemke is like, he's going to hit 230, but
the glove's there.
Glove's there. So that's all we really care about.
I mean, shortstop, prior to the Jeter, Nomar, A-Rod revolution, it was really just like Cal Ripken was the only one. All the other shortstops were Ozzie Smith, right? It was skinny dudes with insane athleticism on defense who swung a toothpick.
Yeah. I mean, Ozzie Smith being in the Hall of Fame is kind of dubious, to be honest. But that he's a creature of his time.
Greatest defensive shortstop of all time.
Andrelton Simmons is probably the best, to be honest. But Ozzie was a showman, and that helped. Look, it's a press vote. It is. He was nice to the press, and he did backflips on the field.
Yeah.
And everybody loved him. And that's got to count for something. But yeah, he's before Andrelton Simmons, he was definitely the best.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody was ever even close to him. But Andrelton Simmons, statistically speaking, is the best shortstop that's ever existed.
Insane.
I mean, I don't even know how somebody could be that good, to be honest.
Well, Simmons,
if you take all of it into factor, the arm, the range, like he had the best range factor for 10 years in a row in Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
That's wild.
That was the difference between Simmons and Smith was, I don't think their range was appreciably different, but Simmons's arm was fucking nuts.
Yeah, it was a cannon. Yeah. Ozzie did okay arm-wise. He was probably should have been a second baseman, but he had such great range, you can't put him over.
Can't possibly. Yeah. Especially, again, on carpet.
And he did it on carpet too, which is it's not more impressive because you get more natural hops on carpet, to be fair, than you do on grass. But the range that he had on carpet is fucking crazy. I loved. I mean, that's who I grew up idolizing, It was Nolan Ryan and Ozzie Smith, those two guys, because I thought they were the best at what they did. And, you know, Simmons was just like, he was Ozzie Smith if Ozzie Smith was a freak athlete, I guess.
Yeah.
Which in some ways he was, because he could jump. Yeah, the backflips he did, he was like really high up in the air.
Yeah.
He would do like the cartwheel and then a backflip. And he's like higher than I've ever been in my life. Well, not higher in a jump.
Yeah.
Not on drugs, obviously. Yeah, it was a real pleasure to watch him play baseball until he came to the plate. And it was like, oh boy. Which is the point, right? And, you know, to bring this back to our pitching staff, we've got Schwellenbach, who is a long-term solution. I think we'll get a couple more years out of Lopez, probably. He seems like he's got some pretty good talent.
Yeah. I mean, and Strider's signed.
Yeah, and Strider will give us 2 out of every 3 years, I think.
Yeah.
Probably something like that for the next 6 years, which is good, right?
Yeah.
We'll get 4 solid years. We just got to make sure we time it up in a way that makes sense when everybody else is doing well. And I think Smith-Shawver will develop as well. So we've got a decent core. I don't really expect too much out of Grant Holmes, to be honest. I think it's kind of a...
He's looked okay so far.
Yeah. I don't think it's going
to
last.
Yeah. But I mean, to the point about Shawver and the whole solved game thing, and if you want to teach a guy to pitch now, like Shawver, who's got great stuff...
Mm.
I think that it should be – this seems like the type of tiny thing that an analytics department would want to do, which is, all right, we need to reduce the amount of pitches a batter sees every plate appearance.
Yeah.
Because when you give them more pitches, you're giving them more information, you're reducing your starter's effectiveness, and even if you bring in guys from the bullpen who are potentially even very good, a hitter who's seen more pitches is more warmed up, more locked in, more in the zone. Maddox's main thing, aside from movement, was denial of information.
Yeah.
And that's, it would seem to me that one of the best things you can do, the same way in football and basketball, you want to limit the amount of possessions the other team has by stealing possessions away or running the clock or whatever.
Yeah.
You want to limit the amount of opportunities a hitter has to succeed, and presumably, one of the best ways to do that would be limit the amount of pitches they see.
Yeah, certainly. Even if it's a hit.
Right.
Right. So it's this three true outcomes is just not true. Hit, walk, home run, or whatever. Or hit, walk, strikeout. It's just not true.
Well, home run, walk, strikeout.
Home run, walk, strikeout. So a walk is measurably worse than a hit.
Yeah.
And in some cases, worse than a home run. If you're up by 3 runs, a solo home run is better than a walk, in my opinion. For all the reasons you just said. One, it's 4 pitches instead of 1.
Or 2. Or even 3.
Yeah.
Like, it's if you get a first pitch base hit is absolutely less damaging than a 5-6 pitch walk, 4 pitch walk. Yeah. Even if you get four straight balls. Yeah, you're right. I mean, a hit on the first pitch, when you're trying to induce contact, and you do induce contact, and it finds a hole, or even he just makes a good, you know, gets a barrel on the ball, not obviously enough to square it out of the park, but, you know, to lift it into the outfield, that is less damaging than a 4-pitch walk, and most walks aren't 4 pitches, so it's a 5-6 pitch situation.
You know what Greg Maddux said the best pitch in baseball was?
What?
Strike one. That's what he always said.
Yeah.
That game where he threw a 78-pitch shutout, 26 of the 31 batters he faced, first pitch strike.
Right. And what's annoying about that highlight reel for that game, because I see it get shared from time to time, is they're like, man, Maddox is just such a dog, 76 pitches or whatever for a complete game. They're only showing strikeouts.
Yeah. But which I think there were, 4 strikeouts in the game or something?
That's not his game. Whenever I do that, I send people the highlight reel of game 2 of the 96 World Series that he pitched in, because every single one is a dude taking a swing and he gets sawed off and grounds to Mark Lemke.
Yeah.
That is, and probably on the first 2 or 3 pitches, they don't obviously show the whole at bat, but probably on the first 2 or 3 pitches for the most part, presumably some baseball front office would figure out, all right, obviously we don't want to lose velocity and shit like that necessarily, but we need to get hitters to end their at-bats more quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And to be fair, that game, the wind was blowing in at Wrigley like 17 miles per hour from left, so he had a little bit of latitude there.
Yeah.
But he has thrown quite a few shutouts and under 100 pitches in his career. And
they named a stat after it.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a... he always said, if the best pitcher ever says that strike one is the most important pitch in baseball, then I think maybe you should pay attention to that.
Right.
And then, you know, we've got much less. I think Schwellenbach's one of them. He is a very cerebral pitcher. You can see the strategy in his pitching.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, Strider, to his credit, he's a freak athlete. His arm is crazy.
He's a cerebral guy, though. Like,
yeah, but he's like, I think he's getting close. I think if he can, I think if he can take the next step, it's going to be a real problem.
Yeah.
For people, because
he's just doing it on stuff, right?
Yeah,
now.
He's mostly just doing it on stuff. It's like, well, slider, fastball, good luck.
Right.
And fair enough, right? Because fuck, man. I mean, he throws the ball very fast, but I think you add one more thing. So he's right now, he's Randy Johnson in the early 90s.
Yeah.
He could be Randy Johnson in the early 2000s, which is like fucking two ERA, impossible. 300 strikeouts.
Yeah.
Good fucking luck.
I just didn't even like watching games that Randy Johnson pitched against the Braves because I was like, this isn't going to be fun.
No, that one no hitter he threw against us.
Perfect
like,
game.
Perfect game. Yeah, I was like, God damn it. Like, no, I watched the first four innings. I'm like, oh, this game's over.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, you just, when he's got that back foot slider working, when he has it dialed in, you're fucked. You can't hit it. There's no way.
Yeah.
Same thing with Sale, by the way, earlier in his career. Every now and again,
or
now,
last year,
out.
For that matter.
But yeah, we need to, I think that Major League Baseball is suffering through a period without great pitching coaches. Guys that came up in that era where dudes were still trying to make contact. Like right now, the pitching coaches are it seems mostly bought into the three true outcomes plus analytics.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay,
well, the three true outcomes is analytics.
It is, yeah. But I mean, like, plus analytics for the individual hitter.
Yeah.
And I think we need some people that are thinking a little bit more with their gut, right? Than just trying to fucking gamify.
Like Brian Snicker.
No. Like he's an idiot. But
you need a good gut.
I think you need like somebody that really knows baseball, well, not somebody that's just been around it for a long time.
There's a deep sort of like, this is why I like baseball in terms of like how I think it's just a brilliant metaphor for life in general, however you want to map it on, whether it's, you know, society, politics, personal life, anything. There's a deep irony, deep, deep irony in the fact that, you know, you can go watch the movie Moneyball or read the book Moneyball, but this was basically the drumbeat of the analytics movement in the early 2000s when you read sites like Fangraphs or FireJoeMorgan.com.
Mm.
The drumbeat of those people was baseball refuses to adapt, right? And we are the adaption. We are the smart people. We're gonna get. Well, now all the smart people are in charge, and what happened? Baseball refuses to adapt.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah.
The people who screamed at the old school for refusing to adapt got them to adapt, but then thought that they now live in a post-historical society, right? Post-history. Like, there is no more adaptions to be made. But there are.
Yeah, we've in our, just in, not even our lifetime, in our adulthood, we've seen the running back in the NFL go from superstar to who cares, and now back to superstar again, right?
It happens
all the goddamn time in every sport. We went from, like, right now we're in a period in the NBA where big men are irrelevant, but it won't last. They're coming back. They're coming back just in a different way. They're coming back with the capability to shoot three-pointers now.
Yeah.
Like Jokic, Embiid when he's healthy. Chet Holmgren, people like that. Mm-hmm. Dudes that are legit.
Or Giannis.
Dudes that are legit, like 6'10", 7-footers who can play ball, right? So these things always come in waves, and baseball hasn't made – there's a couple of people in Major League Baseball who are aware of this, but it seems to only be players who are taking advantage of it, and it doesn't seem like the coaching is there, in my opinion. I mean, honestly – I don't know. I don't see anybody pitcher wise. Like, if you look at the top line pitchers Hunter Green, Logan Gilbert. I'm talking about by WHIP, by the way, just this season. Wisniewski, Eovaldi, Skanes, all these dudes are just throwing the ball as hard as they can. Then you have Sonny Gray, who's pitching.
Right.
And you have Schwellenbach, who's pitching. And you have Gosman, who's pitching. He throws mid-90s, but he's pitching. I think it's going to come back a little bit. Eflin, too, Zach Eflin, is pitching.
Well, another one who, I don't know if he's on that list right now, but Zach Wheeler is a pitcher.
Yeah, he is. Zach Wheeler, yeah, he's a little farther down. I mean, he's at 107, so you can't fucking complain about that. Still early in the season, but there's a lot of dudes out there that are still just throwing as hard as they can every time. And then you got, that's for starters. The bullpens, some of them are doing well. Some of them are not. The Braves bullpen is terrible.
Yes.
It's so bad.
You got good news, though. Craig Kimbrell just blowing through AAA right now.
Well,
four strikeouts in 1.1 innings.
To be expected, I suppose. The Braves team bullpen ERA right now is 4.18. They are, 2 of 5 in save opportunities. Given up. The WHIP is 1.3.
Ugh. That is basically the only thing I care about with bullpen statistics is WHIP, right? Because especially when you have a lead.
Yeah.
Because the only way that someone's going to come back is getting men on base.
Yeah, they're like 10th worst in walks from the bullpen. It's just... And they're 10th worst in walks, and they're like 20th in strikeouts.
So they're
can't do both of those things.
No.
You have to have one or the other be a positive statistic for you. And I don't expect it to get any better, to be honest. Acuña is going to come back. There'll be a bit of a boost from that.
I do think it feels like one of the problems with the offense right now is that it'd be the same thing. It's almost like a basketball, an NBA or college basketball offense. If one of your main pieces is missing, everything gets thrown off.
Yeah.
These guys don't know where they're supposed to hit in the order. These guys don't have an expectation of what's going to happen every day.
Yeah, consistency
is
what an athlete needs to perform.
Baseball maybe more than anyone.
Mm.
And that is, I think, absolutely killing the Braves lineup right now, because when we won the World Series and Acuña was out, they did a very good job very quickly of resetting the expectations and consistency. They weren't tinkering with the lineup every single day. Mm-hmm. Like, they very quickly figured out, all right, fuck it, Soler's first.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you know, we'll move maybe like Jock around or something like that. And what's his name? The guy, Eddie Rosario around. Mm. Maybe we'll figure that out. But if the top of the lineup is figured out, everything else falls into place. And the top of the lineup is not figured out remotely right now.
Yeah.
And I think that's fucking the entire, I think it's a cascading effect down the rest of the lineup.
Yeah.
It doesn't help that Ozuna now is day to day with hip inflammation as well. So losing our best hitter for the Toronto series wasn't sweet.
No, it wasn't. But Granholm threw a good game against them. That was nice.
Yeah.
Sean Murphy's been on fire since he got back.
Yes. I
mean, he's just hitting everything.
And hard.
The rate stats aren't terribly great for him, but even his outs are hard.
The contact is where you want it.
He's smashing the ball to center and right center, especially. He's had quite a bit of power, a couple doubles. Two home runs, one to center, dead center, one to right center. I don't remember which series that was. The Rays series. Yeah, during that Rays series, he looks great. Now we've got Verdugo coming up to replace De La Cruz.
Yep.
That's a lateral move, probably. Right.
It's higher ceiling, I suppose.
Yeah. I mean, Verdugo's had some good years here and there. Not bad last year. He had 13 home runs
just be a competent at Yankees. Bat in the lineup, right?
Yeah.
Just be a fucking difficult out.
I mean, he doesn't strike out much. He strikes out less than 100 times in 600 at bats.
Yeah.
So, which is better than.
That's what you want.
Yeah. You know, especially down lower in the order like that. Doesn't walk much either. So, he makes a lot of contact, put him in a good spot. you can make some shit happen. We'll see how that goes. And again, Acuna will be back sometime next month. Strider will get into a groove. I just don't think this team has any capabilities right now until they fix this bullpen, and I don't know how they're going to do it, to be honest.
That's one of the only things I feel like you can still accomplish in the trade market, even though, like we've talked about before, it's a shrunken market compared to what it used to be because so many more teams are in contention. That feels like the one thing where you can still make decent moves.
Yeah.
And also moves, that's like the only move we're capable of making because you don't have to give up the farm for a reliever, typically.
Yeah, yeah. Iglesias has looked good.
One of his blown saves I don't put on him.
Yeah, he's looked good. Hernandez is, he's always good. That dude's like one of the most underrated pitchers in baseball, I think. But Pierce Johnson looks like shit. Dylan Lee is mid right now. We don't really have a closeout lefty in the bullpen because Aaron Bummer doesn't belong on this team.
Yeah.
He never should have been traded for in the first place. Everybody said that last year. He's got a 2 whip this year. De Los Santos, who we kind of had some hope for, has not looked good either, but it's a long season. We'll see how it goes. They're in big trouble bullpen-wise, and I don't see – unless they make some serious moves. The problem with this is, unless they make some moves soon, it's not going to become an unsalvageable situation.
Yeah.
And then what do? Do you rent Ozuna out and get something for him? You know what I mean? Because what's the point of keeping him? He's on an expiring contract right now, and I can't imagine they're going to resign.
Although, what do you even get for an expiring contract DH?
Relievers into the future or pitching prospects, probably something like that.
Yeah.
But Ozuna, if he's hitting like Ozuna, you get something.
Yeah.
Because for a playoff team, that's huge. Is invaluable. Like,
especially if his on-base stuff holds.
Yeah.
Real quick, before you go on, we do have some ads. First up is MyBookie. MyBookie.com is where we make all of our picks for baseball, for the NBA playoffs. There's a line I actually really like on that this weekend. Nuggets only a 2.5-point favorite against the Clippers in Game 1 in Denver. I'm probably going to take that. Mm. But yeah, mybookie.com for make a picks. If you use promo code Drinkin' Bros, you will double your first deposit up to $1,000. So you put in $1,000, they'll give you $1,000. You put in $100, they'll give you $100. Put in $20, they'll give you $20. Whatever, they'll match it up to $1,000 with the promo code Drinkin' Bros on your first deposit. Also, if you are a regular player on mybookie.com, they give you stuff like rake backs, special bets every week. The rake backs are my favorite. If you have a bad week, they'll toss you a little money back, say thanks for playing, you're a valued loyal customer, you're in the MyBookie Plus rewards program, so here's a little money back, thanks for playing, keep playing with us. That doesn't cost any money to sign up for anything like that. If you've been playing with them for a minute, you are part of the MyBookie Plus rewards program. It's also where we make our golf picks. Dan, how you doing this week?
I'm doing all right.
Yeah,
Wyndham's in the mix. He shot one under today, but hopefully Scotty doesn't, go nuts.
Do Scotty things.
Scotty's going to do Scotty things. Justin Thomas obviously is at 10 under, but he'll probably shoot even par today.
All right.
You don't really follow a 61 with a good round. Usually tired.
Fair enough. So that's where we make all our picks. It's at mybookie.com. Check it out. But anything, anytime, anywhere with mybookie.com. Let's get into this weekend's parlays. Is there anything you see on the series? I feel like there's some decent series to bet on. The Phillies got the Marlins. The Yankees got the Rays in their spring training stadium. A little bit, maybe a home game for the Yankees.
I think you can take 2 out of 3 on the Yankees here. The question is which two. Rodon has looked like shit this year. So I don't know about today, but tomorrow I'll be looking at it.
Yeah.
I would say the Twins at +130 today.
With Elder on the mound?
Yeah, with Elder on the mound. Even though Paddock has sucked this year.
I don't care.
The Twins' bullpen is better, and I don't think Ozuna's playing.
He's day-to-day. I haven't heard that he's playing. Yeah.
I haven't seen it, so keep an eye on that one. Cubs at home versus the Diamondbacks. You can take that one. That game actually starts pretty soon, so you better get that in. Royals at the Tigers. Reagans has looked great this year. I'm going with him.
Got a good pitching matchup in Philly and Miami.
Yeah, I would stay away from that one.
That's
gambling-wise. That's going to be a good game, although I think Philly should win this game. But
I don't know who the Marlins use to score off of Zach Wheeler. I know he's got a 4 ERA right now, but I kind of just don't care.
Yeah. Still Zach Wheeler. Red Sox at home against the White Sox.
Love that.
Take that one. Mets at home against the Cardinals. Take that one.
Yeah, Mikolas is on the mound for the Cardinals. Yeah, he's pretty cooked.
Yeah, he's cooked. Great matchup in Texas this evening as well. Globe Life. Too bad I'm not going to be at this game, actually. But it's Yamamoto against Jacob DeGrom. I would take the Rangers in this game plus 125. And then Athletics and Brewers. Surprisingly, the Athletics are staying around 500. They're 7-3 on the road. And again, JT Genn looks great. He will not be on this team in 3 months. I take the Athletics at plus 145.
Okay. I mean, the Brewers got Peralta going.
Mm-hmm. I'm not worried about that.
All right.
Last but not least on this is Giants at the Angels. I'm taking Logan Webb. Minus 160 parlay that all together.
Okay. I'll go with the Sunday games here. Obviously, all the same series. Give me the Red Sox over the White Sox just because, I mean, Tanner Houck hasn't had a good year so far, but he's Tanner Houck and the White Sox are the White Sox. On Sunday at Baltimore, give me the Reds over the Orioles. It's Nick Lodolo against Charlie Morton. I'll take the Reds there. Morton's been getting slapped around. Phillies over the Marlins, absolutely. Let's see here. I'm going to stay away from Braves Twins, stay away from Mariners Blue Jays. Yankees over the Rays, Max Fried's on the mound. Love that. Mets Cardinals actually has a good pitching matchup, with, Sonny Gray, and Holmes has pitched well for the Mets. So, meh. Diamondbacks over the Cubs on Sunday, Kelly's on the mound. I'll take that one. And then, man, I get so annoyed when the Nats play the Rockies or something like that, and I just can't bet on either team. And then I kind of like the Padres over the Astros on Sunday as well. Dylan Cease is going against Framber Valdez. It's a good pitching matchup, but the Padres have just looked insane so far this year. Yeah. And the Astros are off to a little bit of a slow start. So Sunday, I'm taking Red Sox over White Sox, Reds over Orioles, Phillies over Marlins. Yankees over Rays, and D-backs over Cubs, and Padres over Astros. That's my Sunday picks. It's a good set of series.
Yeah,
this weekend.
Yeah, good for everybody else.
Right. That's all I got for today. Hopefully we have some happy things to talk about. We have two big series coming up against the Twins and Cardinals. Winnable series, just like these last fucking two were. Not that we won them. But
yeah, well,
we shall see. Love to see a sweep in there somewhere.
I feel like we're going to get hammered tonight.
Tonight's going to be bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sale tomorrow, TBD. And then Grant Holmes on Sunday, TBD on that as well.
Yeah.
But Cardinals, we got Schwellenbach Strider, so we should win that series.
Yeah, I agree. All right, that's all I got for Tomahawk. See you guys later.